أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I want to congratulate you all on the idea that, alhamdulillah, we were able to commemorate one of the very, very important layali of Qadr, and offer my condolences on the striking of Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's a great blessing of Allah that we were able to have the tawfiq this year that at least one of the layali of Qadr we were able to be present in. The time is still not up for us. If we can, we still have two more, inshallah, opportunities to really connect to Allah and connect to the Ahlul Bayt and connect to the Qur'an. We want to remember to definitely, even if we're in our homes, inshallah, we're doing those rituals, we're taking the Qur'an, we're putting it on our heads, and we're trying to connect with the Ahlul Bayt, all of the Ahlul Bayt. In particular, brothers and sisters, all of the Ahlul Bayt, of course, but in particular, two personalities we're told by senior scholars. One of them is the Imam of the time. We definitely want to connect with him. And then the other is Lady Fatima, Salamullahi Alayha. Inshallah, we're able to do that on the nights. And of course, we should pray for one another. If we pray for one another, it'll be answered for us. So inshallah, we'll pray for one another. I'll be praying for you. Inshallah, you also will pray for me. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about Imam Ali alayhi salam. But what I want to do is to take three lessons from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and you'll see, inshallah, the connection between these three lessons and the topic that has been chosen for this year. So this year, we were talking about moral excellence in the home. And the idea that was that as soldiers of Imam Mahdi, we should be ruhama baynahum. We should be merciful amongst ourselves, dealing kindly with our family members. And this virus, the coronavirus, the quarantine actually provided us with an opportunity to exercise this principle and to try and remember to increase our muraqabah and muhasabah and try and do it in a practical way. So, one of the first lessons that we want to get from Imam Ali, or the first lesson that we want to get and we relate it to Imam Ali, is this. Brothers and sisters, ideally, if we can, we should make the commitment for ourselves and our families, if we can, to try to visit the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, once a year. If we can. At least we can make the niyyah. If we could do this, if it was possible for us, if we could at least make the niyyah. The rest is in God's hands. Sometimes we're unable, but the reward, brothers and sisters, is in attempting. When we have children, sometimes it's good for us to arrange such a facility for our children to be able to go for ziyarah on their own. We have some very good ziyarah groups. One of them is Al-Asr. They've been doing it for many, many years. Very trustworthy brothers. What happens is sometimes for our children, who were born Muslims, if they had the good fortune of being born Muslims, they reach a stage in their lives where they're going to have to choose Allah and Islam. It's not just because I grew up in an Islamic household. It's not just because my father and mother were Muslim. Sometimes they have to learn to choose and make that conscious decision, the intellectual after the intellectual conviction, which is easy, is the commitment to following the Ahlul Bayt. And that, brothers and sisters, is not a given. Sometimes someone discovers Islam, even maybe their parents weren't practicing. They've discovered Islam, then they're committed to it. You would think, okay, well, my kids automatically, they will, not necessarily. They have to choose. So, thinking about this for our children, sometimes sending them with a group of youngsters, like the Al-Asr trip, where our children are going, and then after that, they're in the hands of trusted scholars. If you're able to afford it, there's a trip, part of it goes to Iraq as well, so you can visit the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam over there. And then the other part is, of course, in Iran, where they get a chance to meet, of course, they'll meet senior scholars over there, but in Iran, of course, there's more facilities. We have a whole entire Islamic government. So this trip, if we can't do all, at least part, but the idea of our children trying to go there. Now, with us, you and I, where would we start? Well, one place we want to start is the ziyarah of Imam Ali alayhi salam. After we've made that niyyah, and I invite brothers and sisters to join me in making the niyyah, inshallah, to visit the Imam this year, inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq. What we want to do is to start by making sure we visited him for sure. We have in several ahadith, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have said that that Imam Ali is the best of them. So I want to share one of them. One of the verses that's revealed about Imam Ali is this verse, Surah Ra'ad, Surah 13, verse number 143. The verse says this, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. Those who disbelieve say, you are not sent, you're not a prophet. Allah gives instructions to His Prophet. He gives the answer to His Prophet. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, Allah is sufficient as a witness between me and you. Allah is a witness. Then he says something that for you and I mean, even if we don't know what's in the tafsir, but the idea that the shahada of Ali be sufficient after the shahada of God, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, and the person who has all of the ilm of the book. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam explains that this verse, as we know, is about Imam Ali, but he says that it's not limited to Imam Ali. He says that it's about us, Ahlul Bayt, and then he says this line, وَعَلِيٌّ أَوَّلُنَا. Ali is the first of us. وَأَفْضَلُنَا, and the best of us. وَخَيْرُنَا, and the best of us. So the most meritous, the person who has the most merit, and the best of us, بَعْدَ دَمِي, بَعْدَ النَّبِي. The person who has the most merit and the best of us after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In the ahadith, you see how important this ziyarah is. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says this, that Allah did not create any creation more numerous than the malaika. And every day, 70,000 of the malaika go to al-baytul ma'mur in the heaven, and they perform the tawaf over there. After that, they descend to the Kaaba and they perform the tawaf over there. After that, they perform the ziyarah. They go to the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and they pass salams to him. Then they go to the grave of Amirul Mu'mineen and they pass salams to him. And then they go to the grave of Al-Husayn and they pass salams to him. And after that, they ascend to the heavens. And then another group like them descends. And this process continues until the day of judgment, brothers and sisters. Mukhtalaful malaika. This is that opportunity. Inshallah, at least make the niyyah. What about the ziyarah of Amirul Mu'mineen? Imam Sadiq says this, whoever does the ziyarah of Amirul Mu'mineen, while he has some conditions, one of them is that he's arifan bihaqqihi. He knows the right of Ali, meaning he knows that Imam Ali is wajib al-ta'ah. He's the Imam from Allah and it's wajib to obey him. He's supposed to be immediately after Rasulullah, so arifan bihaqqihi. In addition to that, not doing so out of arrogance or haughtiness. That's also mentioned in the hadith. This person, inshallah, you and I can be this way. What will God give this person? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. God will write for them. أَجْرَ مِعَةِ أَلْفْ شَهِيد. Allah will give them the reward of مِعَةِ أَلْفْ شَهِيد. What else? وَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ. In addition to that, what else will be there? So not only a million shaheed, but the sins that he has done in the past and also the future. What else? وَبُعْثَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. This person will be raised as one of those who is safe on the day of judgment. What else? If that wasn't enough, وَهَوَّنَ عَلَيْهِ الْحِسَابِ. God will make giving the account easy. In addition to that, وَاسْتَقْبَلَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels, they'll be there to greet you when you go to visit Imam Ali. When you leave, وَإِذَا انصَرَفَ. When you leave, شَيَّعَتْهُ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. When you leave, Imam Ali is a very wonderful host. The angels will escort you back to your home. What about if you fall sick? Sometimes it's difficult when you make ziyarah. فَإِنْ مَرِضَ عَدُوهُ. The malaika. If you become sick, the malaika are the ones who will come and do iyada of you. وَإِنْ مَاتَ. Let's say you die. تَبِعَهُ بِالْاِسْتِغْفَارِ إِلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. The malaika will follow you until your grave, and they will do istighfar for you. Inshallah, we'll be able to do this. And what some of the urafa say, brothers and sisters, is that when you go over to visit the Ahlul Bayt, you're holding them to these promises. This is part of your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're holding the Ahlul Bayt to these promises. So one of the things that we have from some of our urafa is that you talk to the Imam when you're there. You tell the Imam that I've come here with my own two feet. I've come here on my power. Over there, I'm not going to be able to. But now I've done it while I'm here. The Ahlul Bayt brothers and sisters are kinder than to promise something and not deliver, and not to deliver in a better way. I want to give one story, inshallah, as encouragement, brothers and sisters, and also connection with this night. One of the beautiful things, inshallah, when you brothers and sisters go to make the ziyarah of Imam Ali is that you'll also visit Masjid Kufa. So Masjid Kufa, as you know, is where it's special for us, it's special in our hearts. Imam Ali used to pray there. That's where he was struck. That was where the dharba took place. Imam Ali was struck over there in Masjid Kufa. There were people, I want to give the story of a man who did tawassul in this way. They would go to Masjid Kufa and they would do it for 40 days, or rather, sometimes 40 weeks. They would go one time a week for 40 weeks in order to get their hajat taken care of. And this has been experienced. People have benefited by this. One of the individuals who did this, and this is mentioned in some of the books of our senior scholars, is a man named Sheikh Ali Rahim. So Sheikh Ali Rahim used to live in Najaf. And what happened was this young man, he had a problem. One of his problems was that he was extremely poor, dirt poor. If that wasn't enough, he also had a medical condition. So when he would cough blood. And because of his sickness, because of his poverty, he couldn't get married. He'd offer, he'd ask, he'd propose. People didn't have those Islamic criteria. They looked, they say, no, we can't give you our daughter in marriage. They wouldn't allow their daughters to marry this man. So this man decided to do tawassul. This is just the masjid that Imam Ali prayed in. He decided to go to Masjid Kufa. And he did it for 40 weeks. So he went there. Finally, he had done it for 39 weeks and nothing had happened. He's going for his last, the 40th trip now. He's gone in succession, but nothing's happened up until now. And he's kind of heartbroken. They say it was winter time. So with his cold, with this medical condition that he had, he was afraid that he would cough blood in the masjid, so he didn't even go to the masjid. He just went up to the door of the masjid, outside the masjid, heartbroken. There in the cold, he made himself a little fire, and then he made himself a coffee, and he's sitting there. And he says that I saw an Arab come out of the mosque. He walks over towards me, and he comes close to me. When he comes close to me, he calls me by name. So, Sheikh Hussein. Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh Hussein. He says, when he called me by name, I thought maybe he knows me. Maybe he's from one of these tribes around this local area, Najaf somewhere, something like that. So I told him, I said, are you from such and such tribe? He said, no. Are you from this tribe? No. I went over the different tribes, and he said, I'm not from any of these tribes. So I said something, I got angry. I said, maybe you're from Toray, just like some nonsense kind of name. I said, He just smiled and he said that wherever I'm from, why are you here? So I liked him. I liked that calmness. I liked how he was answering me. He said, it's no problem, and share. I said, I told him again, I said, well, what benefit is it to you? He said, there's no harm. Why don't you can share. I liked him. I said, why don't you have some of this coffee? So he sat down and I poured him a cup of coffee and he just took the cup and he just tasted it. And he told me, you have the rest. I started telling him my issues. So I told him about my poverty. I told him about my sickness. And he said, I didn't understand what was happening, but he told me, when I told him about it, he said, well, you're better now. I didn't understand. I didn't connect the dots. He said, you're better now. He said, being poor is in your own interest. It's for your own good. He said, and you're going to get married. It's going to work out. In the next couple of days, you'll be able to get married. I asked him, so let me just check. I asked him, I said, let's go visit Hazrat Muslim. He said, okay. He said, but let's go in the masjid, Masjid Kufa. Inshallah, you'll go to Masjid Kufa. He said, let's go to Masjid Kufa. Let's pray two rakats of salat over there. And then after that, go visit. So I said, why not? So we start going together. And when we enter the masjid, I felt calm because he was so calm. And I just, he's just handsome. He smells so nice, perfume. I'm following him. He goes in the masjid, he goes into one area and he starts making salat, and I go in another area and he starts making salat. And I hear him pray. I'm praying. When I hear his prayer, his voice, the way he's reciting, it's so incredible. I start trembling. While I'm praying, I start thinking to myself, that's Imam Mahdi. He called me by name. He told me I'm better. He told me these different things. He says, as I was thinking this, I look back over there and I see as if light is surrounding the Imam. I continue my prayer. I finish the prayer and now I go over. He's so ashamed now. He says that you're very kind to us. We're disrespectful to you, but you're very kind. And he mentions, he said, you said that we would go over to visit Muslim. He said, the light moved and I followed that light. But now all I was doing was looking at the light and crying and doing tawassul to the Imam until the morning. And then sometime the Imam disappeared and I no longer saw the Imam. So inshallah, brothers and sisters, we're able to go over there, make those ziyarah, and really connect with the Ahlul Bayt and request our needs and make this something that we, our children, this is something we're used to. We renew our allegiance to the Ahlul Bayt if we're able, if Allah provides the means, once a year. That was one lesson. The second lesson that we want to learn is actually from the words of Imam Ali and the advice from Imam Ali to his son. So you and I were talking about the idea that in the home, preparing for the Imam, one of our responsibilities is to try and create a situation where we and those who are with us, those who are responsible for, we're all traveling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam taught his son a very important principle, but of course it wasn't only for Imam Hassan. We need to apply this principle in our own lives. That principle, brothers and sisters, is the idea of treating others the way we want to be treated. We need to learn to treat our spouses, our children, our parents, those who we're interacting with, other Muslims, the way that we would like to be treated. If we want the Imam to return, then this is a responsibility. The Imam says this, Ya Bunay, he's speaking to his son, Ij'al nafsaka mizanan fima baynaka wa bayna ghayrik. You make yourself the mizan. You make yourself the scale between what's you and others. The Imam explains, فَأَحْبِبْ لِغَيْرِكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love for others, want for others what you want for yourself. Love for others what you love for yourself. وَأَكْرَهْ لَهُ مَا تَكْرَهُ لَهَا. Hate for others what you hate for yourself. Hate for others what you hate for yourself. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has explained that this is one of the many rights that a Muslim has on one another. So all Muslims, we have this right, they have this right over us. Of course, you and I, with our family members, our parents, our children, our spouses, we have to make sure we're implementing this. So when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was explaining the rights of the Muslim, he explained that this was the easiest right. So he says, أَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمْ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Love and want for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. The first right of a Muslim. So you and I, if we're implementing this teaching of Imam Ali, if we want to see this in our own households, what we want to do is, let's put ourselves in the shoes of our spouse, in the shoes of our children, in the shoes of our parents. Let's say my wife spends that time, she's cooking, she's preparing the iftar. How do I, if I was preparing iftar, how would I like to be treated? Would I like to have that effort appreciated? Let's say it's a wife. Let's say they were coming home after working a long period of time. Would they like that the first thing the person says to them is to explain what they want and what they're looking for? Or would they first like to be greeted with a warm smile? Right? What would we be looking for if it was us? If you have two individuals who are living in a house, and these individuals who are living in the house, and they're not ma'asum, so all of us, none of us are among the ma'asumeen. So if we're living in a house with non-ma'asumeen, it's definite that there's going to be mistakes made, 100%. That's 100% that's going to happen. When mistakes are made, and you and I know that we're going to be, these people are committing these mistakes, how would we want to be treated? Would we like to be forgiven unilaterally? I talked about this concept the last speech. The idea of just forgiving before the other person apologizes, not waiting, if you apologize, then I'll behave properly. Just forgiving the other person. Would we like to be forgiven if we made a mistake? Of course we would. So learning to do these things, to make sure that we lead by example, brothers and sisters. So there's a very important verse of the Holy Quran. And when the early Muslims heard this verse, when it was first revealed, the Muslims took this so seriously. Some of them broke down crying when the verse was revealed. The verse is from Surah Tahrim, and it's Surah 66, verse number 6. The verse says this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Guard yourselves and your families from the fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. The fuel for that fire of hell are people, human beings, and stones. So what happens is, one of the individuals, Imam Sadiq says, when he heard this, he was like, I'm not even able to take care of my own responsibilities. Now I have to take care of ensuring my family comes to paradise as well? How? People literally, as I said, some of them broke down crying. Some of the people asked, okay, well, how are we supposed to do this? And Rasulullah gave this example. The idea of you and I, the same thing we're learning from Imam Ali, treating others the way we want to be treated, leading by example, not waiting for others. قَالَ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The people spoke to the Prophet, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. كَيْفَ نَقِي أَنفُسَنَا وَأَهْلِينَا. How do we keep ourselves and our families away from this fire of hell? What did the Prophet do? He gave a practical advice. قال, he said, اعملوا الخير. You yourselves do good. You yourselves do your responsibilities. وَذَكِّرُوا بِهِ أَهْلِيكُمْ. So you're the person of action, you're practicing what you preach. This has been mentioned in other hadith as well, that you tell them to do what you're doing. So you lead by example. He says that after that, remind them of their responsibilities. Remind your families. He says in this way, فَأُؤَدِّبُوكُمْ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. In this way, they'll be trained to obey Allah. The idea that Allah, what He wants, that's what matters. Not what I want, not what you want. Whatever Allah wants. That a Muslim household should be like that. It's not egos. It's not you have to walk on eggshells around this person. You're afraid of their reaction. Literally, whatever Allah says. Not what I want, not what you want. Whatever Allah wants. He says in this way, you'll train them to do their responsibilities. So that's a second lesson that we learned from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And inshallah, once I finish, then we're going to end with tawassul. Our dear brother Ali Juma, Sayyid Ali Juma, will be doing the tawassul to Imam Ali. Right now we'll be continuing though on these practical lessons, and then after that, inshallah, we'll be able to emotionally connect with our Imam, and inshallah, we'll be able to benefit from our Imam and connect with him, inshallah, and get strength to carry out these important responsibilities. So the first lesson was ziyarah of the Imam. The second lesson was how the Imam trained us to be with others the way that we be with others the way that we want to be. This last lesson we're going to learn from the practical life of the Imam, inshallah. So one of the things that you and I have to be committed to is trying to increase the spiritual levels of our homes, to make our homes where really it's houses where God is remembered. Dhikr of Allah really takes place in the real sense. Houses which are built on taqwa. How can we do this? Sometimes we might think of particular rituals that we're attached to. For instance, we always know about salat, for instance. So we go over and we're making sure that we make salat. We learn that, for instance, the hijab is wajib, so we focus on that. But sometimes it's the other areas that the Ahlul Bayt have put focus on, and we're not paying attention to those areas. One of those areas is that comprehensive approach, the approach of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam towards the wajibat. This is very, very important. You and I, we have to learn to be people who practice all of Islam. Not our favorite parts of Islam. Not parts that are easy. Not parts that come to us because of how we were raised. Or the parts that we've come to. But learning to embrace Islam in its entirety. Not what I want. Not what you want. Whatever Allah wants. If we do this, then Imam Sajjad gives us good tidings. He says this, مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. That person who does those things that God has made wajib on them, فَهُوَ مِنْ خَيْرِ النَّاسِ. This is amongst the best of the people. The idea that the wajibat are that red line. It can't be the case. I know God has spoken and I still am doing my own thing. Otherwise, we're trying to worship God. The way that the Ahlul Bayt have said we should worship God, again from Imam Sajjad, is this. مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever acts and does those things that God has made obligatory on him, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَعْبَدِ النَّاسِ. This is one of the people who's doing the most ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a household like this, wajibat, not my favorite parts of the deen. Not selective amnesia when it comes to certain parts of the deen. And that my children, my spouse, my husband, my parents, my wife, they see that when it comes to certain areas of the religion, then I have nerves of steel. I can stand in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those areas, and of course we need to speak about this more in detail. Right now I just want to talk about the principle. Is one of those areas where families come to the rescue of one another. Where families come to the rescue of one another is when doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. And of course, we've been talking, I've already mentioned before, the concepts behind this, the idea of how we build up the grounds in order to be able to do Al-Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. The idea of a loving relationship, not just one where I'm critical of the person. The idea that sometimes we can't address issues immediately, or flaws, or areas where we see that our families are going astray. Sometimes we have to build that emotional connection. Sometimes that readiness has to be there. Sometimes it takes years. Of course, you and I, we should be building that readiness within ourselves to accept what we're told. This might be our last month of Ramadan. We might not have another Laylatul Qadr to fix ourselves. What happens though is the expectation from our families should be that they'll speak to us and they'll address us. The social pressure that we should have created and trained our families to be like this, the social pressure is on the person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's no longer, well, this is the father, this is the mother, this is the child, this person's above the law. Everybody walk on eggshells around this person. Now whoever it is, Imam Khomeini's teacher, he told a story, and Imam Khomeini remembered this story, and later on he was sharing this principle with others. So Imam Khomeini's teacher is Ayatollah Marhum, Ayatollah Shah Abadi. So this Ayatollah, he's known, you and I, when we hear his name, we know of him as the person who taught Imam Khomeini the theoretical Irfan. Also a wonderful teacher of akhlaq. Imam Khomeini loved this man. He's also someone of amazing political acumen. He recognized the danger of the first Shah when other even clever ulama who were very brave and later opposed the Shah, they realized the danger of the Shah, but they didn't realize his danger until later. He realized it immediately. Anyhow, this individual, what happens, so marhum Ayatollah Shah Abadi, that what happens is one time in the time of that mal'oon Shah, they opened up a store next to his house, close by his house, that was selling alcoholic beverages and the instruments of gambling. So he gathered his friends, the rufaqa, he says. He gathered these people who listened to him, obeyed him, and he said, I need everybody to go over and talk to this man. And just say, salam alaikum, wa alaikum as-salam. You're not supposed to do this. This isn't okay. It's not right. So that day, morning this started, 200 people visited this man. They would just come over, salam alaikum, wa alaikum as-salam. Oh, we're not supposed to do this. Haram. Next one come. Salam alaikum, wa alaikum as-salam. Why are you selling alcohol? That's what is wrong, haram. Lee. By Asr, 200 people had come. Social pressure. And that was it. The guy closed his business, he went somewhere else. This idea of speaking to one another, caring for one another, showing love towards one another in this way. Of course, building up those grounds, being patient, not responding immediately, being close, but expecting this. Now, what happens is, lessons from Imam Ali now. So we talked about the idea of embracing all of Allah's religion, all of the wajibat, even the difficult ones like Al-Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar, being patient until that time. What happens is sometimes what Allah will do is He'll test us by bringing us, there'll be a desire that you and I want. We have this desire and it's a good desire. It's something to ask Allah for. Allah likes this. But what happens is Allah will close the doors to make this happen. Suddenly He'll open the doors, but there's one caveat. In order to do it, what you want, what you've been waiting for, what you've been looking for, one caveat, you gotta disobey God. It's something you've been praying for, waiting for, dua. That test of taqwa. What did Imam Ali say? Imam Ali, when he describes the God-worthy, the muttaqeen, he says, "La yahifu ala man yubghidh." One of the things about the God-worthy is in those times of test, he doesn't oppress the person he hates. وَلَا يَعْثَمُ فِي مَنْ يُحِبْ. He doesn't sin for his friends. So the test is there. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to be ready, get ready to sacrifice your Ismail. Allah says in the Quran, Lan, God says, so Surah 3, verse 192, Allah says this, Lan, never, Lan tanalul birra, never will you reach righteousness, bir, hatta, until tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you spend out of what you love. So you and I, we have desires, we have du'as, we're sacrificing, we're getting ready. But let's keep this in mind, this principle of Imam Ali, that sometimes what happens is you're that close to getting what you need, but the caveat is you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the secret is to obey Allah then. So from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, all of us were waiting for the divine government of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're working for that government of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea that mankind can be saved, that Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens, that he will pray behind the imam, that will liberate the globe, that the oppressed, wherever they are, right now we're unfortunately witnessing Kashmir, Palestine, Yemen, Syria. And what's the solution? The solution is divine government. Keep in mind the principle, though. What happens is, after the death of the second Khalifa, he requests that there be a council made of six people. Who's in this council? One of them is Imam Ali. One of them is Zubair. One of them is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. One of them is Uthman. One of them is Talha. And one of them is a man named Abdul Rahman. What happens is, the majority, they have to go with the majority vote, and you're not allowed to dissent. Okay. Now in this situation, there's some people who already have current alliances. So Imam Ali, he already has Zubair, his cousin. Abdul Rahman is actually related to Uthman. And then there's Talha, who's on the side of Uthman, and Sa'd. So now a couple of things happen. Talha says that I withdraw my opportunity to become Khalifa in favor of Uthman. Zubair says that I withdraw my attempt or my chance to become Khalifa in favor of Imam Ali. So two votes. After that, then Sa'd says, I give my vote to Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman bin Auf now is the game changer. Whoever I vote for wins. And he says, I withdraw, but I'm going to choose the next Khalifa. And now, first he goes to Imam Ali. Imam Ali, everybody knows his position in Islam, his sacrifices, what he's done. It's with the sword of Ali and the wealth of Khadija that Islam itself is standing. He goes to Imam Ali and he says this, Uba'i'uka ala kitabillah, I do bay'ah to you with three conditions. One, ala kitabillah, you have to act according to the Quran. Wa sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to act according to the sunnah. Wa sirati shaykhain, and you have to follow the way of the shaykhain. Imam Ali, you've been waiting all these years, patient, you've watched what happened to Islam, you know Uthman, you know Bani Umayyah. How long will it be after Uthman? Maybe you'll never get another chance again. You tell a white lie. What did Imam Ali say? Faqal, he responded, Bal ala kitab Allah wa sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger, wa ijtihad ra'yi, and I do my own ijtihad. What he does is he then turns Uthman, turns to his relative Uthman, and he, Abdurrahman, says to Uthman, do you accept the conditions? And he accepts. The test still continues. He turns back to Ali. I make bay'ah with you on these conditions. Imam Ali insists on his principle. He goes to Uthman again. He says, Uthman. Uthman says, I accept them. He turns to Ali for the third time. Ali will not sin to get his way. He's going to do it. He's going to do it the right way. Complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, then Abdurrahman makes bay'ah to Uthman. Inshallah, Allah help us to embrace these principles, the idea of doing what's right, all of Islam, not picking and choosing, and then not that we were people who practice until we're tested and Allah touches that raw nerve. Rather, at those times, as the Imam says, that we don't do dhulm to those who we dislike and we don't commit sin for our friends. Inshallah, now we're going to have our tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt, and inshallah we'll be praying for one another in these nights to come. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا رسول الله سلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. It was in your homes that Allah blessed us with guidance and revelation, and upon you descend the angels day in and day out. صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا يعصوم الدين السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرضه In the houses of the Ahlul Bayt, there is continuous grief and mourning. Just thinking about this night that Ali gets struck made Prophet Muhammad weep. Ali stands up and asks him, what is the best of actions in this month, Ya Rasulullah? He says, Ya Aba al-Hasan, the best of actions in this month is to avoid sin. Thumma baka, faqultu ya Rasulallah, ما يبكيك فقال يا علي. The Prophet began to cry and Ali asked him, what is making you cry, Ya Rasulullah? He says, Oh Ali, I cry for what will befall you in this month. It's as if I am there when you are praying. كأني بك وأنت تصلي لربك. وقد انبعث أشقى الأولين والآخرين. فضربك ضربة على قرنك فخبض منها لحيتك. Look at the ikhlas of Ali. Look at the sincerity of Ali. Ali then said, قال أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام يا رسول الله وذلك في سلامة من ديني. He asked, O Messenger of God, even if this event happens, is my religion intact? فقال صلى الله عليه وآله في سلامة من دينك. ثم قال يا علي من قتلك فقد قتلني. The Holy Prophet said, O Ali, he who kills you has killed me. Narrations of the 19th night comes to us from the daughter of Imam Ali Kulthum. She says that Amir al-Mu'mineen would take turns having iftar at different homes of his children. Since the month started, he would only have 3 pieces of food. He would say that I want to meet my Lord when I am hungry and on an empty stomach. On the 19th night, he spent the night at the house of Kulthum. She says that when the time for iftar came, I placed food in front of my father. There was barley bread, salt and milk. Ali stared at the food and began shaking his head. وَبَكَى بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا عَالِيًا. It is said that Ali cried intensely and loudly. He said, my dear daughter, do you offer your father different types of food in one plate? Do you want to prolong my standing before Allah on the day of judgment? Soon after, he began to worship the entire night. Then he went to sleep and he woke up startled in the middle of the night. The children of Ali come to him in the middle of the night, living in the same neighborhood. Ali says, I just had a dream that you must know about. What did you dream, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, I saw Prophet Muhammad in my dream. He said, وَهُوَ يَقُولُ يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ إِنَّكَ قَادِمْ إِلَيْنَا عَنْ قَرِيمٍ. He said, Ya Aba al-Hasan, you're returning to us very soon. Imam Hassan tries to stay with his father. Ali says, go back home and take care of the women, Hassan. Again, he begins to pray. Time again, Imam al-Hassan would come out of the house into the courtyard. Dawn began appearing as Ali is tying his waistcloth. As Ali is tying his waistcloth, he is reciting his own elegy. How madloom and oppressed has Ali become that he has to cry for himself. As he starts leaving the home, the ducks and the geese that are in the courtyard surround him as if they are trying to stop him. Look at the love of everything around Ali. Even the ducks and the animals are trying to keep him from going to the masjid. They make all sorts of noise and people try to move them away. Ali says, leave them. They know what you do not know. As he walks towards the mosque in the night, he keeps on reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. This is the last walk to the masjid for our Amir. He goes to the mosque of Kufa and climbs up to recite the adhan. This is his last adhan, the final adhan of Ali. Another adhan 20 years later in Karbala by a young Ali in Al-Akbar just as our breaking. The adhan enters the houses of everyone in Kufa. There was not a person who did not wake up and listen to the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He began walking towards his mihrab and saying, As-salat, as-salat, ya abid Allah. He sees Shabib and Ibn Muljim sleeping on the ground on their stomachs. He moves them with his feet and he tells them not to sleep on their stomachs since it is the sleep of the shaitan. Ali says, if you wish, I will tell you what evil you conceal in your cloth. Ali moves to the mihrab. Some people have arrived. Some are taking their wudu. Ali is praying his nafila salat. He says, takbir, the final takbir of Ali. He goes into ruku, stands up from ruku, prostrates in a final sajda to his Lord. Who knows what he is saying to his Lord in this final salat? Shabib and Ibn Muljim decide that this is the best opportunity to strike Ali. They run towards Imam Ali. Shabib tries to strike with his poison sword, but he misses. Ibn Muljim then strikes at the head of Ali. As Imam Ali raises his head from sujood, he strikes Ali with such force that blood from Imam Ali's forehead dyes his face. For one eternal moment, it's as if the entire universe is silent when you are struck in that moment, Ya Ali. Then suddenly the ground begins to quake and the mosque begins to shake. People begin to hear a voice from the heavens. Who is calling out? Jibreel is calling out. What is he saying? Tahaddamat wallah arkan al-huda. تهدمت والله أركان الهدى. By Allah, the pillars of guidance have collapsed. They have killed Ali in al-Murtada. وَعَلِيَّا مظلوما ومصيبة وعليا. يا أبا الحسن يا أمير المؤمنين يا علي ابن أبي طالب يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم اكشف السوء بظهور الحجة يا الله 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 اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Thank you so much for joining. I thank you to Sheikh Usama. It's an honor to remember the Masa'ib of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Please keep the organizers in your du'as. Keep Sahib al-Zaman in your du'as. Keep the hastening of the reappearance in your du'as. If you can remember the healthcare workers that are taking care of everyone in your du'as. Remember the sick, the mu'mineen, the oppressed, those that are alive, those that are deceased, especially the oppressed around the world, inshallah. If you can please, again, keep the organizers in your du'as that are trying to make these programs possible.